Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to take a nice, quiet journey through the minds, through time, through space, through our existence. Wow, that's pretty much not so quiet for some people. Causes a whole lot of chaos, static, fear, I don't want to go there. For others, it's such a journey to be able to say we could be free, we can exist, we can share, we could think, and we could say, oh, I'd love to dance with that, maybe this now, and maybe something else later. Today, my guest is Bella St. John. Her books, novella books, are called Quantum Lace. She has a series of three at the moment, and we'll be talking about this evening. And what it's about is about how she could be free in the world, see life, different aspects, through time, through place, space, reality, what really is real, and just have an enjoyment time and say, let's go back in time, let's have a nice little adventure. Bella, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine, Dr. Jeanette.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, Bella, we talk about this all the time on the radio show, and we let out little cracks here and there, and we say, what about this? Perhaps that. Maybe life isn't all of that. It wouldn't be great to dance with another space and time and say, there's so much more out there. Instead of being stuck in the dogma in the books and what can be reproduced, don't you think?
And I think stuck is a mental construct. I think we're only ever stuck if we feel that we are or choose that we are. And even with what you were just mentioning with regard to time, I mean, people say, oh, well, you can't change the past. My perspective is whether you can or can't change the past, and the books also get into that within quantum physics, but leaving that aside, what you can do is you can change what the past means to you. And right. that affects your physiology, and then that affects your reality. So even from a very see it, feel it, touch it perspective, you can change the past.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when my past in this lifetime has been kind of tumultuous, it's been kind of challenging, it's been different. People say to me when I would share something and I share just like a breadcrumb's worth, and they would say, oh my gosh, that's a harsh story. Oh my gosh, that's so much suffering and trauma. And I'll say, I really don't see it that way. I didn't then, I don't now, but it's really there. This perspective on my experience and how they may have felt at that time. I look back at it and I say, oh, but look at this. That was a good part of it. Oh, look at this. This was something new that I learned. And all of that other stuff, isn't that so important, right?
And it's interesting when you're talking about the perspective. The books that you mentioned, the Quantum Lace series, so Lady Bridget Darnell is my lead character that goes right throughout the series. And in chapter one of book one, Bridget, who starts off the series in England in 1895, and she has what she thinks is a dream, and she finds herself in present-day Charleston, South Carolina, talking with a fellow who's saying, you know, like he's been able to work out how to travel through time. But what the way that he's describing it to her, and this speaking to what you were talking about that perception, is he uses the example of, imagine you are in a horror movie. And so it's all dark and, you know, you're in this horror movie and you're right. Watching the what's happening on the screen. And then all of a sudden this monster jumps out at you and you know, well, and if you think from just purely physical, your body, you sitting in the cinema, your body has gone into fight or flight mode. Your heart rate has gone up. You're producing more adrenaline. All of your senses are on alert. But yet, there actually is no real monster out there. Not only that, but that all you're seeing is one still image after one still image after
right.
one still image with
yeah.
some music and sound effects along with it. There is nothing there to hurt you. But yes, mm-hmm. if you have a doctor put medical testing equipment on you, as far as that doctor is concerned, you are in fear of your life. So
mm-hmm.
our perspective on things does have a huge influence on our physical reality.
And I think sometimes when we are able to step out of something, we are able to reflect back on it and change that perspective, dance with whatever has happened at that time or the illusion, or say that I will now take a part of that and create it as my current reality. That's really
correct.
What we talk about in jumping timelines, being able to
yes.
go back and forth and back and forth. It's so funny, Belle. I said to somebody yesterday, this concept of, I always live in the present moment. I've said it a lot on this radio. I live in the present moment. I truly don't remember what I said 2 seconds ago, and I'm not thinking about what's going forward. But then I took it a step further, and I said there really is no present moment, because at the moment that you recognize that split hair second, it's already gone. So
That's
is there
exactly
really any
right.
present moment, There isn't.
That's exactly right. I mean, to say all we have is now, well, that's fine. But when I said that, that's already the past. And even when I just said
right.
that, that's already the past. It's almost like Zeno's law of the fact that you're going from A to B, and then you get halfway, and then you get halfway from that to B, and then you get halfway from there to B. It's like you never get there. You always
right.
you get halfway,
right.
and then you can get halfway, and then you can get halfway. But, you never actually arrive.
Mhm. Yeah, it's almost like I have these moments quite often, and I say words truly don't matter. Things, all of this other mechanistic, materialistic kind of things, they truly don't matter that much to me at all. And I almost look at it as when you're saying about being in the present moment or existing or whatever, I almost could close my eyes and see myself with arms outstretched, face to the sun, breathing in. And that is all truly there is. I think we as humans have created so much more of a song and a story and a dance to fluff it up or to change it or to alter it. But when we're going back to it, that's really the essence. There isn't anything else. Yes.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the work of Neville Goddard speaks to that subject.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I had this dream at one time, and it was pretty persistent for about 2 or 3 weeks, and I would always be in the middle of the night. I would hear these words, everything is nothing and nothing is everything. And I had said that to somebody, and they're like, what are you talking about? And I would just walk around chattering it like a bird, like a parrot, repeating
mm-hmm.
it, repeating it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I get it. Why don't you get it? And it was like, okay, move on, And I just kind of let it go. And I think that's truly the idea that everything is nothing, but really nothing is everything. There's almost like you almost want to open your mouth, but nothing comes out because there isn't anything there,
Yeah, it's like a similar statement that I made to a friend some time ago, that fiction is the only fact, meaning that if you have three people that witness an incident and you take down their statements, all three are going to give you completely different versions. Well, not completely different, but they're going to have different
right.
nuances. So it's not, there is no such thing as fact, fiction with our imagination. Our version of what we read, our imagination, really is the only fact that there is.
Yeah. In healthcare, it's really been pounded down lately about the scientific method and all this other stuff and evidence-based medicine and everything. And I think what's happening now is that medicine is progressing so fast that they really can't catch up to evidence-based. They don't have enough clinical trials behind them. And they're doing a whole lot of experimenting and progressing forward. And what's going to happen is, you know, medicine, as we know, will fall away, in my thought. But at any rate, what's really happening is that that's a real testament to the profound dogma that we would read in a book. You know, I mean, I'm in my 60s. If I read something in the book when I was in my 50s, we all believed it to be true. And, you know, here it is. Look it up. Point and you know, I can remember my mother, you know, saying, you know, picking up a book and pointing at it and saying, here it is, here it is, this is what it has to be. And it's sort of like, mm-hmm. No, it doesn't, you know, it couldn't understand. And I think that idea of now, I think with the internet and so many people speaking across the globe, we're now coming to a point where people are opening up their consciousness and awareness to something else. What are your thoughts?
I agree, and also in the book, for instance, the time travel is based on quantum physics, but as we know it today. But also the reference mm-hmm. is given to the fact that it's just what we know today. Once upon a time, it was considered physiologically impossible for a man to run a 4-minute mile, and these right. days, all college athletes can pretty much run a 4-minute mile.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's, you know, again, what we consider as fact isn't necessarily so.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
Timelines, and when we're really saying going backward or forward, I know myself, when I go to sleep, I definitely go someplace else. And it's a standing joke in my house that I like snore like crazy, right? And it's not a normal snore. It's like just a sound. And I said, that's just my car that I left in park. My body is in park so that when I go out on my dream phase, I know how to get back. I just follow the noise. and that's the truth, because I will hear the noise in my head and I'll say, that's where I go. And then it sort of like brings me back into my space. A lot of times people will say about past life traveling through hypnosis. I know for myself, I could walk streets here in New Orleans. I go right into a past lifetime. I know exactly where I am. I go right into it. I can tell you a story about the space and time, but I'm still standing, you know, in 2019 with my jeans on, my flat shoes, and my heavy sweater, and, you know, the wind is blowing mm-hmm. and the music is playing. So I think the idea of believing that there's only one conceptual linear silo existence, we're starting to crack that glass, yes?
Yeah, and I agree. And from the perspective of only one linear existence, again, within the Quantum Lace books, we look at the current philosophy, the current belief within quantum physics of an almost infinite number of dimensions of universes, of timelines, as you put it. So essentially, when you know, for instance, if you come to an intersection, as in, you know, like not, I'm not talking, you know, metaphorically, I'm talking physically. You walk mm-hmm. to the edge of a street. You have an almost infinite number of choices. You can cross the road, you can stay where you are, you can turn left, you can turn right, you can go partway across the road and come back here. There are an almost infinite number of possibilities. Now, in quantum physics suggests that each one of those choices branches off into another reality, shall we say.
Right.
When I say an almost infinite, there are what are called terminal universes, terminal realities, which are ones that don't have enough energy to continue. And by that, I mean that it's not likely that while it's possible, it's not likely you would walk halfway across the road and then lie down in front of traffic. You could. Mm-hmm. It's not
right.
likely that would be an option. So that branch, that branched off universal reality doesn't have enough energy to sustain life, so to speak. And in quantum physics, that becomes what's called a terminal universe. And it just peters out. It doesn't continue. But the option of you crossing the road, that continues. And there is a version of you that continues. The option of you turning left and walking down the block, that has enough energy and that continues. And in quantum physics, there is a suggestion that each one of these, every time we have a choice, and you think of how many choices do you have? I mean, even mm-hmm. just in this conversation, how many choices have we had in where this conversation could go? And in quantum physics, the suggestion is that each one of those branches off into an alternate universe or an alternate reality, as we're talking here.
But if you also look at it, too, quantum physics is essentially our essence, our soul, to me. And our existence, our lifetimes, our... how many times we could say we were on this earth or whatever. It could be past lives. It could be your ancestors. It could be your genetics or your DNA or whatever. And to me, when I say to people, you know, you're going down the highway and you see an exit and you get off the exit and they're like, oh, it might be, but it's a dead end. That's such a big deal. And I said, why is it a dead end? You go down to it for that experience. But then your experience that you go down for that and you get to the end, that might be the end of that human existence of that reality. It's sort of like that's the petal on the flower, but the flower still continues because the essence is still there. So
exactly.
There may be terminal existences considered in the human reality, but there's not a terminal existence for the essence of that which is. It's just
precisely
that how it is constructed for now. In other words, in quantum physics, I might be constructed for a frequency now, and how all of those little dice come together, interlock together to be able to create, like the old-fashioned radios where you would turn the dial to hear the station, might be
mm-hmm.
for this moment. But if you turn the dial, it doesn't distort it. It just unlocks it, and it brings it to the next space till it falls into place. You know, and I think to see that there's people are running in such a muck of fear that to say there is potential, that would just unleash so much in the world around us to say there is no right and wrong, there is no bad and terrible, death is not really a big deal. I always say to people, they're saying, oh, well, you transform, you evolve, you morph. I've used those words in the past, too. And now I'm into the space where for the last year it's been, oh, no, I'm not transforming anymore. It's transfiguration now. So we're really into that space of it's transfiguration. We are moving past that, of that reality, having to be our sticking zone, you know. We don't have to think about war. We don't have to think about all of this stuff. That history kept repeating and bringing forth with us, we can still say now we're more creation going forward. What are your thoughts on that one?
I agree. And even with, you know, when you mentioned war, et cetera, I don't even watch the news unless I've been a captive audience, such as at a hairdressing salon or something or other.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've probably watched the news 3, maybe 4 times in the last 15 years. I just
mm-hmm.
don't go there. It's a choice. And it's almost like, as well, to take the the Eleanor Roosevelt quote of nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent. To extend that, that apart from physical pain, nobody can make you feel anything without your consent. Mm-hmm. It's entirely up to us.
And don't you think the idea that to be able to lessen that fear really will, almost when you lessen a fear, it's almost like you you could feel it on your skin. You know, your skin is tight, your shoulders are up, you feel your shortness of breath. But when you lessen that, it almost feels like you could feel the breeze go by on the hairs of your arm. You could feel like you'd smell something distance off in a distance. You can almost sense that a bird just passed over your head and you look up and there it is. Isn't that the more, that is just such a great place to exist. I mean, I exist it from is, that my, as my much focus as possible. Though
is, yeah, my focus though is to be there and not allow the fear in the first place.
Right. Yeah. And I think so many, how do they get from that transition point? I think really is about listening to conversations like yours and I were having today. Also to check out your books, Quantum Lace, it's a novella series. And I think to be able to say, tell it to me a different way. I understand a little bit. Say it a different way. Share with me a different story. Tell it in a different part of my life. That's really what it's all about, is to show you all the different ways so that then you say, all of a sudden one day you say, I got it, this is cool. And you're like, well, yeah, that's what I said in the beginning, but that's okay. And I think it's also to say, you know, I mean, you know, if you say, you know, there is a change, it's like just share with everybody all these different aspects of it. And eventually, you know, we'll all be in the same similar frequencies, yes?
And it's interesting, some time ago I was with a friend and their teenage child, and the teenager said something or other and I responded and they went, oh, right, and they walked off and their mother said, I've been saying that for the last 3 months.
Right.
How come they just heard you? And sometimes we just need to hear it framed differently. It was exactly the same message, but it was just framed differently.
Right. Yeah, that's so interesting. You know what, Bella, I have to say something about your book, too, of Quantum Lace. So you made a reference in the book. You said she felt something tugging at her leg and furiously kicked to remove it. And she felt her other foot connect time and time again with something solid, but still the mass held fast to her, dragging her down. I have to tell you this story. It is so interesting because I have said to I have some angel readers or some psychic acquaintances and various different people and healers to come on the radio. And I have said to them over and over, probably for about the past maybe 3 years, and I said to them, my right foot, I cannot put my foot down on the floor. And they're like, oh, well, it must be this. It must, you know, solutionize it. And I said, no, don't you understand? I said, I've been always flying high, and something on the earth is tethering me here. It's pulling me and holding me here. And when I read that paragraph, I said, yeah, it's the timeline that's holding me here. And it's my foot timeline has this little sticker that's stuck to the earth, and that's what's holding me in this timeline. And it was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool, you know. And and I think to make light of that, saying, oh, that's cool, and wow, you know, I think the thoughts and the feelings we're having, isn't it great to have them validated, yes?
Absolutely. And that passage is actually in the first chapter of the second book of the series. So, yeah.
And I think when we talk about timelines, let's talk about those for a second, how your character goes, be it back into time. Do you think how you could relate that to past life when we say under hypnosis, is that similar? Or is that another phase of it?
From my perspective, past life can be equated with what we're talking about in the Quantum Lace series, in that in the series itself, Bridget's consciousness that she follows from one point in place in time to another. And essentially, that's what we're looking at with past lives. It's still our consciousness, but when it was just simply in a different physical form. It's slightly different within the book series, but you could make some parallels between the two.
You know what's interesting when we talk about past lives, and I've had many experiences with it. In fact, it was probably about maybe 2 months ago. I had gotten, I was in a transitory kind of in a dream, not in a dream. And I said to my thoughts, I said, "Who's there?" And they said, "This is Toby, my wife, May." And it was like playing out a whole story in my head. And what it was is my past life self. And it was telling me a little bit, little story. Well, at the time, I thought it was really cool because I've been getting bits and pieces of all it along. And then I had mentioned it to someone, and they said, "Oh, well, can you go back into your ancestor DNA, you know, your ancestors, and find which ancestor that was or whatever?" And I'm going, you know, I think there's like a crossover sometimes when we talk about our past lives, where our spirit soul has been, and our ancestral lineage of where we come from. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they do not. They do not necessarily overlap. They may,
correct.
But they do not necessarily. Yes.
Right, and I think that concept for people right now is a little bit. That's a little bit. Someone said to me, "We don't do woo-woo here, you know. Take your woo-woo somewhere else." And I went, "Oh, Lord," you know. Her wall's coming real soon. Just let me know when it hits, you know. Because the conceptual idea of what is woo-woo, is it really, but isn't it all an illusion?
Well, all reality. I mean, even if we just go back to the earlier example of being in the horror movie. Mm-hmm. That's all illusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we perceive it that determines what we consider as reality.
Do you think the fact that reality is more or less considered a reality when someone says, "I'm locked into this frame and I can't exist outside of this frame"?
That's their reality that they have created.
Right. And which they choose to only exist in, yes?
Well, every conscious action and thought is choice.
Yeah, I think the idea that there is another way, we see this with people saying now, "You mean I shouldn't eat fast food, but it's all out there?" Or is it, "I've always been drunk all along, and now you're telling me I shouldn't drink because it's going to affect my health?" I think the ideas of responsibility for ourselves and our actions, as you said, making choices that are different, or believing that there's something outside of us that is affecting us versus it coming from the inside. That's now becoming a concept that people are dabbling in, yes?
Yes, and ultimately my perspective, which is only mine and no influence nor judgment anywhere else, my perspective is that my life, my reality is really all about my choices and how I perceive things. If I feel that junk food is going to be really bad for me, then my physical reality will most likely prove that I'm right. I have a friend who is so healthy. It is ridiculous. And very, very fit, and they lead a very sedentary life, and they eat food that would make most people's heart go just, you know, the harden left, right, and center with their arteries just looking at the food
right.
that they eat. But yet they're perfectly fit and healthy. Yeah, it really comes down from my perspective, and again, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. My perspective is my reality is determined by my choices and how I perceive the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think so too. Also, in your book, the book three of Quantum Lace, can we touch on this for a second, Bella? When your character goes back and she talks about the slaves, and she's, and I underlined this one sentence. It says, "We ain't got no money, no home, except for this here house, no food. But the truth is, they is scared of us now." And you know, I live in the Deep South. I live in New Orleans, and the idea we think about freedom, we think about the idea of black and white, we think of the colors, we think about genders, we think about those people over there and us people over here, kind of that separation. I think a lot of times when people say when they go back into past lives, they have a great awakening, or when they go into a different space and time in their dreams, they say, you know, I saw something, I felt something, I experienced something, and I, all of a sudden something will click, and then they take that force going forward, and they say, you know what, that doesn't resonate with me anymore. I'm going to make a different choice. I can see it from a different perspective. I can understand I may have contributed to it or been a part of it, and now I'm choosing not to be. Isn't that the great opportunity we have right now?
And I think you're referring to book three of the series where Bridget finds herself in April 1865 back in mm-hmm. Charleston, South Carolina. And by the way, I lived in both Louisiana and Charleston for quite some time, so I'm quite familiar
mm-hmm.
And with the areas. And one of the in book three as well, in addition to the quote that you made, there's also another reference that Cap, a former slave fellow, says, you know, like, I've always been free.
Right.
Because a kind of along the lines of Viktor Frankl's in Man's Search for Meaning, which is a phenomenal book, where Frankl, who was a Jewish psychiatrist in the Second World War, and he found himself in a couple of different concentration camps. And essentially, his message was that you may be able to imprison my body, but you can't imprison my mind. What happens inside my head is my choice. And that's the reference that Cap also makes, was that, you know, I may actually have been a slave, but what happens in my head and my heart, that's all. I've always been free there, as opposed to Minnie, another former slave, who references it from the perspective of, wow, okay, sure, we're quote unquote free now, but we ain't got no money, we got no this, we got no that. You know, how is that freedom? And so the book three is essentially looking at what is the concept of freedom.
Mm-hmm. And I think the idea is that, you know, I see this a lot with healing. People say, I'm going to come to you because my knees hurt and I want you to fix them. And you work with them and you believe that they have shape-shifted so much within their web and changed so much in their health web that they truly are a different reflection, yet they still say that their knees are still hurting. And I think the idea of when we heal, is our body in perfection, as going back to maybe how we might remember it in our childhood, or is healing being able to make choices on how we feel? You could say, yeah, my knees are really hurting, so I'm not going to go out and jog today, but boy, I'm going to sit here and do some planting and gardening, or I'm going to enjoy the day doing something else, or I'm going to do this, that, or the other. It's really your perspective in that second that is the freedom of your choice, yes?
Correct. And even with regard to healing, coming back to chapter one in book one of the Quantum Lace series, where the fellow that's talking to Bridget about time travel is referencing Albert Einstein and saying that there is no such thing as darkness. There is only an absence of light. And when we talk about healing, it's almost like that's the flip of my belief, is that there is actually no such thing as illness. There's only an absence of wellness.
Mm-hmm. And I see it as a continuum. In other words, they might be hurting right at this minute, and they might hurt for the next 20 years, but it's still a continuum. And if I look at it of my existence, that 20 years might just be a blip on the radar. So I think the idea that, it's all my life. Oh, it has been this. Well, you're really just talking about this life, this existence. And are you any grander than that? Or do we just look at this life? Like, you know that concept people will say, you only have one life, so you better do something with it, you know? And that concept that this is all there is may be very limiting.
True. However, by looking at by saying, oh, well, I've had this pain for the last 20 years, et cetera, well, you can always, and as we said earlier, you can't, well, leaving quantum physics aside, you can't change the past 20 years. But by talking about how the fact that you've been in pain for the last 20 years, you're just perpetuating the momentum. So the likelihood mm-hmm. of you being in pain for the next 20 years is now even greater. And whether it's this life, previous life, next life, again, coming back to the only real power we have is within our imagination. It's not even within our now. It's within our imagination. And if you allow that pain into your imagination as well, then really get used to the pain.
Yeah. And I think sometimes what does it take to get out of those spaces to be able to shapeshift is a little bit of imagination, a little bit of exploring other options, and it really will, all of a sudden one day you'll get up and you'll say, I haven't thought about my knees in months. I have no idea. You know, I think sometimes just plain letting it go and moving on to the next page, no matter what the next page is, and being able to say, I could be free in this moment, you might never go back to that other space.
Yes. A friend of mine is a long-distance runner, and they, as in, you know, like the Boston Marathon type runs, and I was talking with them one time about what it takes to get through that last part where your body has basically just said, I'm terribly sorry, like, I
right.
please, I want out now. Where's the nearest bar?
Right.
I'm done with this. And you mm-hmm. know, talking with them about what does it take to get you to get just keep going and get over the finish line. And their comment was really, really basic. You just focus on the objective. What do you want? And you just stay focused on what you want.
And think about that for a second, because a lot of times people will say, well, I couldn't do this, I didn't get that. And when you say focus on what you want, they sometimes attach a material goal when really in essence is they're looking for something from their heart or their soul speaking. People will say, I really want a house in the country, when they're really saying, if you continue to speak with them, they'll say, I really want a house in the country because I want to feel safe. I'd like to have less noise. I would like to feel my body just at rest. I think that is more what you will come to as you continue along the spectrum, more of those type answers. And once you're into that type answers, then all of this other stuff just falls away. Do you think?
Exactly. And it's all about what do you want is with regards to the feeling of that you want to experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about when you say about a race, is it that you really want to feel like you're being you have this big thing, this big medal that you can hang out on your thing, and you'll be in all the news media.
His isn't about winning the race.
Right.
His is about the accomplishment for him of everything that he has put in to running this
right.
race and then crossing that finish line and feeling the exhilaration of him having achieved what he set out to do.
Right. And it's something for him personally inside of himself.
Correct.
Versus the outside existence that, you know, for whatever that might be.
Correct. And whether it is somebody who wants the gold medal, whether it is somebody who just wants to finish and they don't care if they do it when the moons come up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not for us to judge. That's their journey.
Right. And the truth is that there are many journeys coexisting all the time. And I think we sometimes wish to feel that we want to go along as ducks. I've said on the show before, do you want to be a duck or a bird? And they didn't understand it. I says, well, ducks follow and birds are free. And they said, oh, I think I'll be a duck. I said, okay, you know, that's great, you know. And the idea that they felt that that was what they needed to do for this moment, to keep themselves in a space where they felt something that they needed at that moment. And then when they're ready to be, you know, the ducks can fly, then they'll choose that then at that time. So as you said, you know, everybody wherever they are at this time in this existence, in this plane is really, it's just, that is your freedom to be able to be whatever it is, right?
Yeah, sometimes we all just want to curl up under a rock for a few hours and eat chocolate and drink wine and watch a soppy movie. That's
right,
fine, too.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's to be able to be okay, just as you said. And it just, to be able to feel free, and it just, it's like I went back to what I said before, is you're just standing there and you just don't feel that tightness around your body. You just feel the sun on your face and the breeze blowing. It's just a tremendous experience, and everybody does seek that out. They go on vacations. They go to do different things. They have a massage. They have their hair done. These are all experiences where you feel lighter and you feel in a different space. So we all are dancing with it on a daily basis, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
It's kind of interesting, I think, when we look at it and we say, isn't this a wonderful world we're in? You know, I think, Bella, we would have never had this conversation probably 30 years ago, although there were a few people that were having it. We just didn't all know about it. And now it's a little bit more out there. We're able to have the conversation and say, isn't this cool, right?
Most definitely. And I think as well with the proliferation of the internet that so many more people are finding these sorts of messages out there. They're, you know, the work of the producers who put together What the Bleep Do We Know, which was
right.
A wonderful combination of what we've come to know of the law of attraction that was propagated by Rhonda Byrne, et cetera, within The Secret, but goes back to, you know, the works of Wallace Wattles and Ralph Waldo Emerson and James Allen and, you know, so many luminaries, you know, from previously. And then What the Bleep, bringing all of that and combining it with quantum physics. And so, yes, I think that it's wonderful that we now have access to so many more resources along these lines, which is facilitating so many wonderful conversations.
Absolutely. And I think it's really great to be able to have conversations with you today, and because it kind of opens up and shares a story in a different way. Your novellas of Quantum Lace, your series, are absolutely wonderful because they take you along a journey.
Thank you.
And a story that you just, you feel immersed in, and it's sort of like, isn't that cool? You know, it's like, whoa, is there a semblance here? Is something popping up for me? Ooh, I had a feeling of that. It's almost like reading between, as you said, it's quantum lace. It really feels like I almost see it as the energies, you know. I know lace very well. There was a famous lace factory that my relatives worked at, and it's like the energies are weaving through and just taking that one little thread and creating a beautiful existence. And I think that's a great title, and it's really what your stories are all about, yes?
Most definitely. And also with lace, if you hold it up, you know, the image is slightly obscured and leaving some elements to the imagination.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's really cool. I love lace. It's something that is so, you think, how can this even be created like this. It's just such a mystery. It's just kind of cool. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Bella, it was such a pleasure talking to you. Can we share with the listeners how to find out more information about you and your work? That would be great.
Most definitely, Dr. Jenna. And this has been lovely. Thank you so much. So, yes, the series Quantum Lace. And oh, and by the way, I'm currently working on the screenplay. So my intention is that eventually Quantum Lace will be turned into a television series. So, but the first three books in the series are all available on Amazon. So it's Quantum, as in quantum physics, Quantum Lace by Bella St. John. And you can always go to either quantumlace.com to get more information on the background behind each of the books, or to bellastjohn.com to find more information on me and my travels, currently in Romania, about to head to Vienna, and then after that, Italy, and then Scotland. So it's a wonderful, wonderful life.
Oh, wow, Bella. I'll tell you, and I encourage all of the listeners, please check out her websites. There are some beautiful photos and images, and it's just like, and as I've told Bella when I first connected with her, pack me in your suitcase, you know, and like, I am ready to go. I have never experienced that which you experienced, and it sounds so engaging and so free, and it's, we can go along her journeys. Just check out her website, and her books are absolutely wonderful. Bella, it is such a great time talking with you. I thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. It's been absolutely wonderful, wonderful. And you're welcome anytime. Luxuriousnomad.com. You just check in, you'll see where I'm at, hop a flight, and come visit.
Oh, absolutely. That's so cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, my dear. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to find out more information about Bella St. John, and her books are Quantum Lace, there's a book of three, please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page, and you go directly to her websites. And please do check them out. They are absolutely glorious. Her books are wonderful. Her adventures, her journeys, her photos, and her words are just exquisite, and they truly will take you along a journey that you may have never experienced before. And is it so freeing to be able to say, oh, I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm just going to imagine being there. That's really what it's all about. Your imagination can take you somewhere, and eventually you can feel there, you can feel the water, you can understand so much more about the world around us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.